I think for so many kids, Make-A-Wish comes to them at a time where they're desperate to find something to hold on to, just trying to look for anything that's positive. And I think there's just so much of a deeper meaning to these wishes that it really allows kids and their families to keep the hope alive and make them look forward to something. And so that was definitely the feeling I had when I had my wish. And it's just continued to follow me these last 10 years of life since my initial diagnosis. Really special.
Welcome to the World of Wishes podcast. I'm Make-A-Wish Southern Florida's Chief Operating Officer, Richard Kelly. Today, we're celebrating resilience, gratitude, and a full circle moment with Wish alumnus Lauren Potter. Once a nationally ranked volleyball player whose life changed overnight with a rare, unnamed autoimmune condition. Lauren takes us from the fear of losing her breath climbing two stairs to the hope she found with her wish. Surfing her first wave in Waikiki, riding ATV trails, ziplining over lush valleys, and watching sunsets that felt like peace. She returned to the court, committed to Yale, mentored other patients, and years later discovered her professional path intersected with our Miami home, the Finker Frankel Wish House, proof that wishes do ripple forward. You'll hear how positivity powered her recovery, why she wears Wish Kid as a badge of honor, and how that Hawaii trip still fuels her life and leadership today. This episode is Lauren Potter, Spiking Challenges and Surfing Wishes. Lauren, it's great to have you here on World of Wishes.
Thank you so much, Richard, for having me.
There's a lot that we want to talk about. I want to talk about your entire journey from when you're first diagnosed to your wish and beyond, because you do have a pretty cool beyond story of your wish. But let's go back to when you were a teenager and you're an athlete, volleyball player, and then something isn't quite right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when I was 13 years old, I was one of the top volleyball players in the country and led my team as the captain to win the Junior Olympic National Championships in 2013. And then I also won two consecutive National All-American titles. And so I was very determined at 13 and 14 to be recruited to play at one of the top volleyball schools in the country. And I even switched schools to play with my Junior Olympic volleyball coach. And so I was on the way. And then my life was forever changed when I was fighting to climb a flight of stairs. And two steps in, I lost breath completely. And that's when I knew something was seriously wrong, because I had been a high-level athlete since I was 9 years old. I had been running 5 miles a day, 2,000 jump ropes a day, training relentlessly, you know, every single hour that I had. And in that moment, my family and I knew that we needed to try to seek some type of answer. And so we started here in Miami, and the doctors, we did tests and scans and x-rays and MRIs and blood work and anything you name it, we got it done. And it took almost a year and a half to even figure out, luckily, that through an x-ray of my spine that a Miami, University of Miami radiologist did, through that x-ray of my spine, they saw something wrong with my lungs. And so within that time frame, around 14 years old to 15 years old, we were trying to figure out what was going on. And then the doctors in Miami said that my case was too rare and too complex to handle with the resources that they had in that hospital. And so they recommended going to one of the top children's hospitals in the country, which is Boston or Philadelphia. Okay. And so we were connected with Dr. Alicia Casey, who's a pulmonologist at Boston Children's Hospital. And so my family and I flew out my sophomore year of high school from Miami to Boston, and I was hospitalized there for over a month. And I underwent hundreds of tests and met with countless specialties of doctors, cardiologists, and infectious disease, and I saw everything and everybody. And it took almost a month in the hospital to diagnose. And through a lung biopsy, the doctors called my autoimmune condition pulmonary vasculitis, or granulomatous disease. And that was the closest name that they could get, because the disease was so rare that it didn't have a name. Wow. And so once we received that diagnosis, they ended up starting initial trial and error treatments. And so those first 6 months were very much a trial and error type situation where they were trying different things, seeing how my body would react because the condition was so rare. And then 6 months into that, I had to undergo chemotherapy for another 6 months because now the inflammation and the disease was affecting my pulmonary artery. So pulmonary vasculitis is a condition where the blood vessels in your lungs are very restricted, that it prevents the flow of oxygen throughout your body. Mm-hmm. And then now that my pulmonary artery was affected, it was now spreading to my heart. And so I had to undergo chemotherapy for 6 months. And luckily, that very severe treatment worked. And after that, I was put on a maintenance medication for about 7 years that we spaced out for quite a long time. But that initial diagnosis was a very difficult and long process to undergo because it was so rare that we had to see so many different types of doctors. And luckily, I just had the most amazing team with Dr. Alicia Casey and Dr. Mary Busson, who was my rheumatologist at the time. And they were incredible and just kept trying different things and keeping, you know, the hope alive for me that we could find a treatment. But when I was at my most severe in the hospital, I had lost 35 pounds. I was barely able to get out of bed. And so that initial period was the most critical. And at that point, it was life-threatening. And luckily, at the time, I didn't know that it was life-threatening.
Right.
And I just think through the doctor's perseverance and persistence to try to find a cure, I just was really lucky and had an incredible support system with my family that we were able to go through that really long and difficult process and come out the other end 2.5 years later and make a full recovery, which was incredible. And so day by day, I just, you know, tried to slowly regain strength and keep everything positive and try to just keep fighting and keep trying to find a cure and a treatment that would work for me. And we got really lucky.
I can't imagine how scary that must be. You're a teenager. Mm-hmm. You go from a high-level athlete to a can't-walk-across-the-room-or-climb mm-hmm. stairs, and the doctors say, this is really rare, we don't even have a name for it, mm-hmm. and you have to go to some other city to get treatment. I can't imagine how scary that was. Do you remember being scared, nervous? You know, what are the things that are running through your head at the time?
I feel like my perspective on things is always to turn it into something positive. So, and especially my mom is pretty much the exact same way, if not 10 times more.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it wasn't about trying to see what was wrong or trying to be nervous or scared or feeling those emotions. For me, it was just trying to find a solution to the problem. Like I looked at it kind of like a problem solution type of situation. And I think that really helped because going through everything that I went through, my mom and I and my whole family were just very adamant about trying to find solutions to every little thing. Mm-hmm. So whatever popped up, like the pulmonary artery situation, when that happened, we were just more focused on, okay, what are the next steps? What are the next things that we can do to try to get better? And I remember my doctors telling me that I would never play volleyball again, which actually was kind of like a good reverse psychology thing because I was very adamant about not, you know, listening to them and trying to play volleyball again. So also keeping that hope alive and just everything, just keeping a positive mindset really helped me throughout that time and focusing on my goals. So staying focused on school, maintaining my straight A's in high school and just staying with the goal that I wanted to play volleyball again. So I was doing 2-pound weights in the bed, mm-hmm. you know, very adamant about trying to play again. And I think just keeping that positive mindset is what really fueled me and fueled my family. And that really stemmed from my parents also just never letting anything show. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just smiles and positivity and yeah. you got this, keep fighting. We're going to find a solution. You're going to play volleyball again. Everything was framed positively. And I think that really helped.
There's a lot of research out there that says, you know, the power of positivity, it proves the power of positivity. And then you're a case study for that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's very true.
Yeah. So Make-Wish comes into your life in Boston.
Yes,
And so that must have been scary too, because, you know, you have this illness, you have this thing that's going on with you, and then it's, you know, it's in your lungs, it's in your heart, and then it's very rare. And then Make-Wish comes in and you're like, what don't I know about this? You know, right. what is this all about? And tell me from your perspective, like what that was like in your mind,
yes.
You know, when Make-Wish comes into your life.
So when Make-Wish came into my life was, so I was diagnosed when I was 15. It took about 2.5 years to make a full recovery and be put on maintenance medications since then. So I'm about 17 and a half now. And I did a routine checkup with my doctors back in Boston. And everything was really great at the time. I was back to playing volleyball. I was in the process of being recruited for schools and college. And I was training every day. I was back to doing me. I was back to doing right. the things that I loved to do. And so this, what I thought was a routine checkup, my doctor, Dr. Casey, said that she was recommending me for Make-A-Wish. And when she explained it to me, at first, I was a little bit confused because I had made a recovery and I didn't feel like I deserved it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to go to a child who was undergoing something very severe at that time. And when she actually told me, she said, no, Lauren, every child that asks or that we recommend for a wish receives one. And I just, in that moment, was so grateful to her and to the Make-A-Wish organization, because at first I felt like I couldn't take a wish away from another child. Right. I didn't want yep. to mm-hmm. do that. And when she explained everything to me about the organization and what you all do for wish kids around the country, I, you know, it just felt like really special to be nominated.
Yep.
And she said that you should look at it as a celebration of your life and everything that you and your family have been through, and you've made it out the other side. So you should use it as this, you know, time to go and spend with your family and have that really special moment with them after everything you all have been through. Mm-hmm. So that was the initial, you know, kind of hearing about Make-A-Wish. And I just couldn't believe there was an organization that actually granted wishes. And just from the very beginning, Make-A-Wish was absolutely incredible. I remember a volunteer named Lisa came to our house and she was, you know, running through everything with us and asking me what I was wishing for. And, you know, we were bouncing ideas off of each other. My sister was trying to convince me to go to the French Open because we're a big tennis family. So she okay. wanted to try to do something like that. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, you know, I want to do something adventurous and active because I want to celebrate everything that my body can now do that it wasn't able to do before.
Wow.
And so yeah. we ended up deciding, or I ended up deciding to go surfing in Hawaii. So that was my ultimate wish to yeah. do that.
Well, I'm glad it was you ending up deciding and not
yes,
anybody
but I take
else.
Input well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Was there a second or a third choice?
So the initial choice was to go skydiving, but that okay. I think was a little too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I knew that I wanted to do something adventurous. I didn't know exactly what that looked like, mm-hmm. But I had always dreamed for some reason of being a professional surfer,
okay.
even though I'd never surfed before. And so Hawaii was kind of an immediate thought. And then being able to do something active like surfing. So I think that was pretty much the only thing I wanted. That was the top of my list. And a couple others were kind of floating, but that was definitely the top number one choice.
I know your wish was a lot of years ago,
yes.
and we're going to get into some of the details, but do you remember the anticipation of it? Do you remember the night before or the flight or, you know, I assume you'd never been to Hawaii?
Nope.
Okay. And so what was that? What was the anticipation like getting ready to go?
I think the anticipation was happiness. I think I had been through so much already, and by the time I actually went on my wish, I had been recruited to play volleyball at Yale, and so that was just another reminder of everything that I had been through. And so really it was just, the anticipation was just excitement, happiness, my family and I planning to figure out how to surf.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking up YouTube videos on how to do it and, you know, just being prepared for having a really special moment and trying to be as present in that moment as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But just everything was it was just excitement, really, because it was really, truly, like my doctor said, a celebration of my life and everything that I had been through.
Right. And there were things that you wanted to do in Hawaii, and I think you got to do a lot of them, or all of them. So run us through the things that you got to do there. You got to fulfill your adrenaline junkie self. You got to be very active, but you also did typical Hawaii things.
Yes.
So to run through the list of things you got to do.
Well, they flew us out to Hawaii. We stayed at the beautiful Sheraton Waikiki Beach hotel, where we were greeted with leis and these beautiful treats, and we just felt immediately from the beginning like VIPs. I felt like really, really special. And then the next day I learned how to surf on Waikiki Beach.
Okay.
And I'll never forget that feeling of standing up on the surfboard for that first time, and I rode that wave all the way to shore, which was incredible. And I was with my dad out there, and my mom and my sister were recording from the beach. And so that was just a really special moment for us that I was able to do that. And then Make-A-Wish just went above and beyond the entire trip. The next day, we visited the Kualoa Ranch, which is this beautiful forest where these movies like Jurassic Park and King Kong were filmed. And we went ATVing around the whole property, which was also another, you know, adventurous adrenaline type activity that I didn't even ask for or expect. And so Make-A-Wish just went above and beyond in that respect. And we went ATVing, and my family, we have a picture that we have framed in our house of the four of us lined up along the Hawaii shoreline at the ranch with the four ATVs that we were riding, which is incredible. And we also went zip lining across these beautiful, gorgeous valleys on the property that are over 1,000 feet in the air that day. And then the next day, it doesn't end there, because the next day we rented a Jeep and drove around the entire island, and we went to the North Shore in Waimea Bay, which is where we saw the surfers and the boogie boarders out. And I saw one of the most breathtaking sunsets I had ever seen in my life. And my family and I were just all sitting on the beach, the four of us, just kind of reflecting on the trip and reflecting on everything that we had been through as a family. And it was just a really special trip, and a trip that I will never forget life.
Do you remember the emotional part of that? I mean, you know, you spend 4 days or four of your days there doing all these active things, and your mind must not be able to stop. But then when you're sitting on the beach watching the sunset, your mind must stop there.
Yes.
And then, so what's going through it? Is it a feeling of grateful? Is it feeling of emotional? What is it?
I think the main feeling was just gratefulness and feeling at peace. I remember my sister put her head on my shoulder and just kind of rested there. And it was just a really special moment for me and my family to kind of just feel like everything that we had gone through together and came out the other end. And again, that feeling of just peace and happiness, and, you know, watching the boogie boarders and the surfers on the beach, it was just a really special moment for the family. And even after, when we went ATVing, the four of us were just so excited and overwhelmed with everything that Make-A-Wish had given us on the trip, that we just did this huge hug, the four of us. And it was just really, we had so many small, special moments that I think culminated on that last day on the North Shore. We were the four of us sitting on the beach, and it was just a really beautiful experience to have with them, and one that I'll never forget.
How do you reminisce about that? How do you share memories? Is it through pictures? Is it just, do you just talk about it? How do you reminisce? How do you remember that trip?
Pictures across the entire house, and also just talking about it. I think one of the best ways that I was, or one of the most special ways that I was able to reminisce, was when I was asked a couple years later to do the keynote speech for a signature sponsorship event that Make-A-Wish was holding. And I remember Jessica Rivera had reached out to me, and I just felt incredibly honored to even have been asked to share my story and meet the actual people who granted my wish, which were the Florida Roofing Contractors Association, which was incredible. And just to be able to thank the people that sponsored the wish, and my whole family came with me as well. It was in Duck Key, it was a fishing tournament. And so I think that was one of the most special ways that I was able to reminisce, was speaking in front of the people that gave me that wish and being able to thank them in person for such a beautiful memory and piece of my life. And also because I had such an incredible journey and an incredible wish trip, And my doctors, I had told them all about it, you know, after I went on the trip. They started connecting me with other pulmonary patients that had diseases similar to me. And so I was able to kind of serve as, you know, a mentor or just somebody that they could reach out to when they needed somebody, or just like somebody that went through it and got out the other side, and that also received wishes. And so that was also really special because I was able to share my story with them and hopefully, you know, give them a little bit of hope while they were going through everything that they were going through at the time too.
I remember that speech. I was in the room, and that entire weekend was emotional because it's not often that Wish kids can come back. I call you a kid, but you know, at the time, but Wish kids can come back and thank the folks that sponsored their wish, mm-hmm. and for you to do it so beautifully. And that was an emotional weekend, and but it was all happy times.
Yes, all happy times.
So that was great. So you're 8 years post your wish,
yes.
and we're talking about it today. You talked mm-hmm. about it, you know, 4 years ago at the roofing contractors event. How did that wish impact your life? And I know we talked about the things you got to do and the things you remember and you reminisce with your family, mm-hmm. but what other impacts on your life have you had as a result of that wish or that period of your life?
So after my wish, I had even more fuel to keep pursuing all of my dreams. And I graduated magna cum laude from my high school. I committed early to Yale to play volleyball as one of their top five volleyball recruits for the 2018 year. And that fuel just continued to propel me even throughout college. I founded the Women's Network Yale chapter on campus, which grew to the largest female organization on campus, which was incredible. And I actually connected with another student at Yale who received a wish. And so that was a really special moment for me as well. And I just keep finding ways that Make-A-Wish continues to be part of my life, even after these 8 years have gone by. And really funny enough, when Make-A-Wish asked me to do the keynote speech, it just felt like everything was coming full circle again for me. And now at 25, so 10 years after my diagnosis, I now work at a firm that I found out did the entire construction and real estate deal for the building that we are currently sitting in. So mm-hmm. that's another just absolutely incredible connection that I've had to Make-A-Wish. And it just, I think for so many kids, Make-A-Wish comes to them at a time where they're desperate to find something to hold on to, just trying to look for anything that's positive. And I think there's just so much of a deeper meaning to these wishes that it really allows kids and their families to keep the hope alive and make them look forward to something. And so that was definitely the feeling I had when I had my wish. And it's just continued to follow me these last 10 years of life mm-hmm. since my initial diagnosis. Really special.
So for the last two summers, you've done work at Greenberg Traurig. And you, as you say, Greenberg Traurig did all the legal work for the building that we're sitting in, our yes. Miami home, the Finger Frankel Wish House. And they've been a tremendous partner. And that is a full circle yes. kind of moment. One of the earlier guests on our podcast, Evan Vickers, is also a Wish kid. And she works there as well and did a lot of the work on this. So it is a full circle moment mm-hmm. for you.
Yes.
And now that you've also reconnected with us and you're a very Miami person. And yes. So I can only imagine how full circle all of that is.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, to be home and to be healthy and, you know, luckily during my first year of law school, I came off of all the medications that I had been on for almost 7 years completely. And it was just another kind of moment that I reflected on everything and remembered everything that I had been blessed to have been given, like this amazing Make-A-Wish trip and an amazing support system in my family. And so just continually being positive and finding always the, you know, the silver lining and the shining light and everything has been really impactful. And Make-A-Wish is that shining light for me throughout all of these years, and so it's a very special organization that I keep very close to my heart. So,
well, we are going to keep you close to our hearts too. So, a lot of WishKids adults say that they wear Make-Wish as a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. You could do it the other way and say, well, you know, I was a WishKid and I was going through this really rough moment in my life. And not be proud of that, but mm-hmm. you're in that group that's proud, a proud Wish kid, a proud Wish alum. Absolutely. And wear it as a badge of honor. Why is that?
Well, I think it's just because, like I said, I think for so many kids, Make-A-Wish comes to them at a time when they're looking for something to hold on to, and it gives them the motivation to stay positive. For me, my Make-A-Wish trip was the celebration that I had finally turned the corner and was healthy. And getting to have those adventures in this surreal, beautiful place with my family is something that I'll never forget. And everything that I've been through, I try to serve as an inspiration to other children that are going through difficult times like I went through, mm-hmm. and trying to not have them go through as many, hoops and hurdles and obstacles that my family and I had to face, and trying to get the initial diagnosis and going to a different state to receive a diagnosis, mm-hmm. And doing trial and error treatments. Like, if there's anything that I could do to help another kid, that's really special to me. And same thing with my Make-A-Wish. It was such an incredible trip and journey to even reach that trip that I'm very honored to be part of an organization that is so just incredible in all aspects. And it's been amazing to tour this new building with you and to see now the Wish Works and how now children can actually experience their wishes and have those incredible moments, because it really does give kids the hope that they need. And it takes them out of the reality that they're going through and gives them more motivation to just keep fighting. And so it's just really special, and I'm very honored to be part of this organization that grants wishes for kids every single day. And the fact that I was able to actually meet my sponsors was incredibly special as well, and to even just thank them for everything that they had done for me and my family.
We are honored to have you as part of this organization. We'll always consider you part of our family. All the Wish Kids that have had wishes are part of our family. And we thank you for being here, for sharing your story. And you are a shining example of what Wish Kids are and represent and become, and the pride that you take in that. And you have a lot of bright years, career years ahead of you. And all the best of all your health, and don't do anything dangerous, and all that adventure that you do. Don't do anything dangerous and injure yourself again. But we appreciate you being here, and all the best to you in your career and in life.
Thank you so much, Richard. Yeah.
Thanks to Lauren, and thank you for listening to this special episode of World Wishes Podcast, produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. I'm your host, Richard Kelly. Additional marketing support for this podcast from the talented team of Gabby Botero, Amber Hadar, and Liv Mayron. To learn more about how you can make wishes like Lauren's come true, visit us at wish.org/SFLA. For more information on this podcast or to listen to our archive shows, visit worldofwishespodcast.org.